This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
You're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And welcome to another week. How are you, Harriet?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited about the stories this week.
Yeah, like when we discussed them earlier, I was reading them. I was like, you know what? I feel like we've found some gems.
And it's a nice variety as well.
It's very different. And I think they're very, I'm not going to say like really nerdy or anything like that, but I don't know. I feel like they're not just your generic like news, AI, this has happened. Like they're actually like meaty stories.
Yeah, so much of the news at the moment is like, they've used AI for this or this person's doing this. And it's like, but can we have a little bit of variety? Anyway, ironically, our first story today is about AI.
but it's a cool AI story though. Do you know what I mean? Like this isn't just like normal AI, I'm going to say. Like this is like artistic AI. So the first story that we've got today is Sony tests AI-powered PlayStation characters.
This is exciting.
And yeah, so they're testing game characters that can hold conversations with players in a similar way to chatbots like ChatGPT. I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah. So I guess this is kind of like if you had an open world game, they wouldn't have to script all of those dialogue trees. You would have, like, your NPC character would just be able to freestyle with you.
Yeah. That's, you know what, this is so crazy. Like, I was a big player of The Witcher back in the day, which is a massive open world game. And I didn't even complete all of it. I must have spent hours on that game. And I just love, like, these sort of RPG, like, open world games. And you know what? This is great, but at the same time, I'm like, I could get stuck in that game for hours. Is this was real?
I'd just never leave.
I would.
I think we've realised over the past couple of weeks that you might have a video game problem. Last week, we were talking about The Sims. This week, Witcher.
This is why I don't play them. So I've not actually picked up a game in like years. But I think my thing is I'll play it for so long. Well, not so long. I'll play it quite a lot in a short amount of time and then get bored of it, if that makes sense. And then I have to wait a few years and then I'll be like, oh my God, I'll do it again.
Hype. Yeah.
It'll last 2 months and that's it.
Okay. So well, maybe then maybe you'll be protected by the AI characters. I think it's really interesting. Yeah. The kind of story is interesting because Sony released a video and I think they've since taken the video down.
Yeah.
So it's definitely generated some conversation. One of the things that I think is quite interesting about this, we've talked about this a lot on the pod, about the use of AI in creative industries is obviously, like, how are they going to generate the voice? So at the moment with this demo, it replicates the voice of the actor Ashley Burke.
Right.
So it's like they've obviously trained the AI using her voice, enabled for it to generate new dialogue. So I think there's going to be this kind of really interesting question of
voice actors.
Yeah, when you sign a voice actor to a project, it's like, will they have to agree for their voice to be used, you know, indefinitely with this AI?
People are going to lose money and jobs, aren't they?
But I guess, but would you be losing money if you're already being paid for...
If you get royalties, I suppose, as long as you just don't sign over the use of your voice and then from then they train bots.
Yeah, yeah. Because I guess, you know, maybe they would want you to perform the scripts for like the main storylines and then it's... I guess the question is like, how much are they going to use it? Like, are you still going to have a main story that would be acted by a voice actor?
Yeah.
And then the open world bit, that's where you could then interact with the AI character that would generate bespoke dialogue. Or are they just going to be like, well, we'll just create everything from scratch? It's kind of interesting because I feel like it's really going to change maybe how people design these games.
Yeah, I think it'll be really handy for smaller gaming companies as well that might not have the budget to do a very big production. But it just makes me wonder, like, the more and more, like, jobs like this and artistic ones sort of end up being AI. Like, I know people probably in upper management are like, oh, we're saving loads of money, like even like coding and stuff like that. But then it probably gets to the point where it's like, are the managers even needed? Like, I just feel like we're just... We're going to be taking away so many jobs that there's just going to be no jobs for anyone eventually.
Everyone else is just going to be sat at home while AI runs everything.
So I do think, like, it's going to be interesting to see how they manage that and the split and how people will get paid for it, whether they will still use actors or whether they'll just get someone in for a week to just speak and then after that generate the voice from it for the rest of, like, the franchise. Like,
there's a really interesting quote from the PlayStation boss Herman Hulst in an interview saying, "I suspect there'll be a dual demand in gaming, one for AI-driven innovative experiences and another for handcrafted thoughtful content." So I kind of hope that they protect both.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
I think that there's areas where it could be really cool to kind of augment that experience, but I hope that they don't take away the human touch.
Yeah. But then if the AI gets so good at replicating human touch, we might not even know the difference.
Well, at that point, we can just train an AI with our voices and they can carry on with this podcast and I'll have a nap.
Okay, I was about to say, I feel like you've just come up with an idea, or like you've given me an idea. Imagine if you could, like, record your voice into your PS4, PS5 or whatever device you're using, and then your voice and your friends' voices could be used as the characters in game. Like, that's definitely going to happen at some point.
I was thinking about this earlier. If you've got a character that can generate dialogue on the fly and interact with you, you probably wouldn't have, you know, the traditional dialogue trees where you press a button to select what answer you have. Maybe you would have a headset and you would be responding vocally, and then, you know, you'd actually be having a conversation with that character. That would be really cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Imagine if you could have a conversation with The Witcher.
Don't, stop it. I need to get rid of this. Like, I don't want to say addiction, because, like, The Witcher 4 is coming out in a few years as well. It makes me wonder, are they going to make use of this?
Yeah, maybe.
You never know. But they dropped the ball with the last game they produced. What was it? Cyberpunk. Like, that was... riddled with tons of problems. But
I think that was, like, overhyped. Yeah. It had massive issues with development.
Well, they never finished it. Like, I was actually quite excited to play that one. And then you were supposedly be able to use, like, this train network and all sorts. And in the end, they were like, no, I've not got enough time to make that. So they just shut the train stations down in game.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Right?
So maybe this is what will happen. Sony will be like, yeah, we're going to have AI-generated characters. They'll launch them and be like, it's not working. Never mind.
Just delete. Pretend it never happened.
Control Z. This is really interesting. So we've talked about kind of like the development of batteries and the race for progressing and improving batteries in widespread industry. And a paper's been released this week, "From Pantyhose to Power Cells, Nylon Giving Lithium Batteries the Leg Up." So apparently there's been a breakthrough in the search for more powerful and lower cost lithium metal batteries by including nylon in the design.
How do we even come up with that idea? Like, do you think it happened by accident? Someone's tights just got stuck in the machine.
They're like, not again. And they're like, hang on a second. I mean, it's happened before. This is how we discovered penicillin, so why not? So it was the Future Energy Technology Institute at the King Abdulaziz City for Science and Technology in Saudi Arabia. They've been looking at stabilizing the interfaces of lithium metal batteries to improve performance, because it's quite widely known that lithium batteries are quite unstable. You can get degraded performance. They can also set on fire, which is obviously not ideal. And they found that using nylon additives, they could improve the lifespans, make them more efficient, and get fewer adverse reactions.
It took me a second to process that and think about that, because it's, I feel like it's such, again, like I said before, it's such a random thing to like come up with. But maybe at that point we're like, right, we're going to try whatever we can. Or like, maybe someone studied the, I don't know how the molecules are made, and like, you know what, maybe this will help. Do you think this will help with electric cars then?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think this is, you know, one of those things where we might not see the impact straight away, but that potential, if it can improve performance, reduce...
Less Teslas on fire.
Exactly. Which is a priority for many people right now.
Yeah.
if you've got Tesla shares, I'm sorry. Mm. It must be a tough time.
Someone in my work definitely has them because we were discussing it yesterday and one person was like, yeah, they were super inflated anyway. And the other guy was like, no, they'll bounce back soon. And I was like, yeah, you definitely got shares.
Keep telling yourself that. Yeah. But yeah, so it sounds like it could even enhance sustainability as well. So I think this has the potential to be really helpful in electric cars, obviously, and other types of power investigations where we're trying to move away from fossil fuels and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Maybe as well with electric flight. We've seen a lot of development of that over the past few years, but batteries remain a kind of a limiting factor for that technology. So this could really help. The power of a tight.
Honestly, like, I'm just sort of scanning through at the moment reading this because it's so interesting. So it's because unsolvable molecules, and they were overlooked originally, but then the studies found that they can be I can't even say these words, Naomi. Solubilized in lithium electrolytes and utilized as a macromet additive. You know what? The more I think about it, the more it makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Because they can be, like, pretty strong nylon tights, like, until they ladder and then it just goes to...
Also, I think it's quite interesting because isn't nylon like really dangerous when it's flammable?
Yeah, I was also thinking that.
So I think it's quite ironic that this very flammable material could help make lithium batteries set on fire less.
Maybe that's because they've been made soluble. I guess in tights and stuff like that, they're in their sort of solid form, aren't they?
Yeah, true.
But yeah, you spray some hairspray on a pair of tights and get a lighter near that, and you're going up in flames. Not ideal.
Put it near a battery, and now we're cooking.
You're driving for the rest of your life.
What's our final story for today?
So our final story today is Hinge Health to go public as soon as April, sources say. Now, you may be thinking, what is Hinge Health? So Hinge Health is a digital physical therapy startup. And what they do is they help patients with musculoskeletal injuries ranging from minor sprains to chronic pain and help them recover from the comfort of their own homes. Now, this has nothing to do with Hinge, the dating app. This is Hinge Health. I did get a bit confused.
I was going to ask. I was like, is Hinge branching out? Like,
are they losing that much money on the dating app side of things?
But they were like, let's spread out. Is Hinge Health going to be a dating app where you can find your gym buddy and love at the same time? No, completely different, unrelated.
It's so interesting. And it's actually like annoying me because like we had a quick chat about this earlier and my master's degree was it, like, if you click over to the link, if you listen to the podcast, you can see the type up of everything we talk about, and there is a link in there and you'll be able to see an image of a stick man sort of superimposed on a person, and that sort of helps them decide, like, you know, how your joints, how they're moving, and how everything's sort of operating. And my master's degree used that along with sound to help stroke patients. So it's making me wonder, should I revisit what I was doing back in the day?
Yeah, maybe you should call Hinge Health and be like, look, I was doing this back in 2015.
You know what? I actually want to see who is part of this company, because imagine if it's Adar from University of York. I'd love that for him.
Sounds like this is obviously a great product. So
yeah,
I think it's looking like it's going to be in the States. It's a US company.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, if you brought it over here to the UK, the waitlisting for physio in the UK is obviously mad. There's such a large demand. You've got massive waiting lists. But if you had the opportunity to use an app, especially if it's something like a sprain, you know, maybe you haven't had surgery, it's quite a mild injury, but you still require that physiotherapy or regular exercise to help heal, this could be really helpful.
This is so cool, honestly. And it looks like a lot of other people think that as well, because they've raised more than $1 billion from investors like Tiger Global. And they've had a $6.2 billion valuation as of October 2021. So they've been around for a few years. So they're not just newcomers. But I'm guessing we're just going to start hearing about them now because they sound like they're at that level now to expand and
Ready to launch as well.
It started in 2014 by the CEO, Daniel Perez, and the executive chairman, Gabriel Mecklenburg, after they were frustrated by their own experiences with physical rehabilitation.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
One of my housemates, he had a knee injury and he has to have a lot of physio, and he too has been frustrated with his journey. So I feel like he would love Hinge Health.
I think what I am trying to think now, because I feel like there's two thoughts about AI and against AI and about sort of digitizing services and not, and that obviously there is an issue with demand for in-person services versus what we can provide in lots of countries. But my thought is, like, you know, these apps are really useful, but if you have such bad movement, are you going to be able to use an app to rehab yourself?
True.
It is interesting. But I was going to say, like, maybe even this type of app in the hands of nurses as well will stop people having to go to, you know, physios that might be in shorter supply.
Yeah, I think it definitely could be like a tool added to an existing service rather than like a replacement. And I would like to think that you would be like prescribed this app rather than, you know, going, oh, my knee's a bit sore, let me download this from Google Play or whatever. Like, I'd like to think that you went to a health professional and then they said, here's how you use this app, blah, blah, blah. So that there's still like a doctor in the loop somewhere.
Yeah. I suppose a lot of people as well, like, they'll just go on YouTube, won't they? So this is, I guess this is kind of targeting the people that might not even necessarily go to a doctor's as well.
Yeah.
Or like they could just ring up their doctor online and the doctor would be like, all right, yeah, use this app first. Like, I guess some people struggle with the face-to-face as well. I know I'm saying like people want the face-to-face, but other people just cannot, like, they don't want that. You want the on-demand.
Or they don't think they, you know, I think a big thing in the UK is
it's not bad enough to go to a doctor.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And they're kind of like, oh, I don't want to waste resources.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So it'd be interesting to see if it becomes available in the UK.
Yeah. I mean, I would use something like this 100% if it was available.
Also, I'm not going to lie, like the picture with the little green stick man, there's a woman kind of doing a yoga pose. It's giving Wii Sport.
Oh my gosh.
I quite enjoy it.
That is a throwback Wii Sport. And like, yeah, playing the golf.
I hope that they give you like little exercises, but then also there's like little games you can play as well.
Yeah.
No, gamify your recovery journey.
That's what we were trying to do on the Masters thing.
They need you, Harriet. They need you on the team.
I feel like they've probably got that covered near me, which is sad. But maybe they do. You know, if you're listening, give me a call.
Yeah. Or are you just saying that because you don't want anyone that works with you to think that you're looking for another job?
Or maybe I'm starting my own. Who knows? Find out in a year's time on Tech Girl Energy.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. We'll be back next week. And if people want to find us on socials, where are we?
You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Threads. We're on YouTube Shorts and Facebook. And it's all Tech Girl Energy on all platforms.
See you next week.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.